Your marital choice defines your destiny. That's our topic for today. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19b says, "Choose life that both thou and thy seed may live." Daily, we are confronted with decision making. What to eat, where to go, what to wear, friends to make, what to say, what to spend on, and the list goes on. Making choices are a natural part of life, and every intersection in the road of life is an opportunity to make a decision. Who you are today, beloved, is a result of all the decisions you have taken, and that includes everything you have done, thought, and said. Clearly, the quality of the choices you make today will determine the quality of your future, and I want you to think very deeply about that. Deciding who to get married to is one of the most important decisions you will ever make next to salvation. Hear me and hear me very well. Dear listener, every choice you make either makes or mars you. May you be made in Jesus' name. Your marriage choice affects every aspect of your life: physical, spiritual, emotional, psychological, and sometimes even material, and your children. Marriage is ordained for a lifetime. It's a lifelong journey. This is why, as a Christian, you must not just be casual about this. Rather, you should approach it with every sense of spirituality and responsibility. Choice, as a word, simply means decision or selection. It is important that you make the right choice before venturing into this lifelong journey of marriage. Definitely, your choices affect your future, and you must understand this very clearly. Every choice has consequences, some good and some bad. You are free to choose your actions, but you are not free from the consequences of your decision. Someone has rightly said, and I quote, "Choices are the hinges of destiny." And this is very true. Let's do a little Bible study here. In the Bible, there are people who have made positive choices. Let's take a look at some of them. In Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, the Bible talks about Ruth, how she made a decision to follow Naomi and serve her God, despite the death of her husband. Her right choice led her to Boaz, and she became one of the five women mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. Second is Timothy, a young unmarried man. He chose to follow the counsel and training of his grandmother and mother, and this resulted in his devotion to God that gave him a place with the New Testament saints, 2 Timothy 1:5. And then Daniel, a young unmarried man too, Daniel 1:8. He proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. His choice made him relevant in the foreign land where he was a slave. Then Peter, in the scriptures, he must have made a good choice in marriage. No wonder he excelled as an apostle of Jesus Christ, and his house was one of the places where Jesus often resorted to and his disciples. Luke chapter 4. Priscilla and Aquila, they chose rightly in marriage, I believe, as they were a great pair in ministry and exemplary Christians during their days, Acts chapter 8. My prayer for you today, dear listener, whether you are single or married, that you will make right choices in marriage. And I pray that your own testimony shall be greater in Jesus' name. There were also people in scriptures who made negative choices. Let's take a look at some of them. At the beginning, Adam and Eve were placed in the Garden of Eden, filled with splendor. They had access to everything in the garden and could eat anything except the fruit from the tree of life. The choice, however, to allow the devil deceive them to disobey God did not affect them alone, but the whole of humanity suffered the consequences of their actions until Jesus came. Genesis chapter 3. Of course, Solomon is another example. At the onset of his kingship, he chose to seek God and inquired wisdom on his assignment. And he was not only blessed with wisdom, but riches as well. 1 Kings chapter 3. However, when he became strong, he chose to follow after strange women and their gods. And at the end, everything he had became vanity. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. You know the rest of the story. How about David? He chose to stay at home when he was supposed to be at war with his army. And that led him to giving into lust and sexual sin. 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12. His action incurred the wrath of God, which brought lack of peace. And of course, you know the end of the story. The sword never departed from his house. How about Samson? A man filled with strength and vigor from God. A one-man army. Chose to get married to one of the Philistines, Delilah, despite the warnings from his parents. At the end of the day, he ended up being disgraced. His hair was barbed, eyes pulled out, and he later died shamefully. Judges 13 and 14. That shall not be your experience in Jesus' name. How about Dinah? He was the only daughter of Jacob, who had 12 sons. Genesis 34. She chose to make friends with the women of the region, which was against the commandment of God for the Israelites at that time. And as a result of her disobedience, she was raped. Her action did not only impact on her, but the whole community, as the men of that region were killed by Dinah's brother in revenge of what was done to their sister. Hence, other lives were negatively affected by the choice that she made. Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5 verses 1 to 6 would have been dedicated stewards in the early church, but they chose to conspire and to lie to the Holy Ghost and died because of it. Haman was an embittered man filled with revenge for the Jews. His wife didn't help the situation as she advised him to build a high gallows of 50 cubits to hang Mordecai. But at the end of the day, he and his family were hanged instead. Esther chapter 5 and verse 14. My prayer for you today is that you will not make a wrong choice in marriage in the name of Jesus Christ. There is this popular saying that if you close your eyes to facts, you will learn through accidents. That's an African proverb. You will not close your eyes to these facts that has been enumerated in Jesus' name. To make quality choices, my advice and counsel for you clearly is count the cost. In Luke chapter 14, verse 28, the Bible says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counted the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it?" Count the cost of your choice, the cost both in the present and in the future. Think about spirituality, personality, character traits, common interest, compatibility, and the rest before you make a choice. And in case you're already married, continue to consider all of these factors. Count the cost of your choice. Spirituality, for instance, don't be carnal about your choice of marriage. That individual you want to get married to is someone you have to beg before he will go to church or before she will attend services. Are you ready to live with that kind of person all your lifetime? There are many people, including anointed ministers of the gospel, who got married to certain people at a point, but it ended up sour. You must think deeply. Don't base your marital choice on feeling. It will lead to a fall. Is your choice inspired by the word of God? Is that individual born again? If you are intending to marry an individual that is only you who knows that he or she is born again, there is a question mark. How sensitive are you to the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is meant to be your principal guide in the journey of life. My husband has shared over and again that he was in a motor park on his way to a preaching engagement when God told him specifically, "This is your wife." And here we are today, after 38 years of marriage. The peace of God has always been our experience. I pray for you today that your testimony shall be stronger. Look for character traits. And it is often said that when the character of a man is not clear to you, look at his friends. You can easily judge the character of a person by the way they treat other people. A pretty face, listen carefully, fine clothes, material wealth, and fame is not equal to good character. That young lady looks so beautiful today. Have you ever seen her take off her wig? Have you ever seen her pull off her makeup? Before you ever get married, I advise you, young men, tell that young lady you want to get married to, "I want to see you in your natural state without a wig, without a makeup, because that's what you are going to live with the rest of your life." Young lady, are you attracted to that young man because he has a punk haircut right now? Remember, years later, 10, 20, 30, 40 years down the line in your marriage, if Jesus tarries, there may be no one hair on his head, so he cannot even think of having a punk haircut. Are you ready to live with that kind of individual the rest of your life? After marriage, when he or she takes off his mouth guard and you find that there is no teeth there, will you be scared? Warning: some ladies have gotten married to wealthy men who are expert women beaters, and they beat hell out of them. Some men also have married beautiful ladies who are lazy and dirty. Are you ready to live with such people all your lifetime? Don't look at the shape alone, dear listener. Look at character. If there is beauty in character, there will be harmony in marriage. Is he or she humble, honest? That man has told you he has a particular degree. Ask for his certificate. Make sure you see it. That young man has told you he has a particular degree. Make sure you see the certificate. I always ensure that before any of our biological children got married, I saw and demanded for the certificate, the degrees of their spouses to be. What is his or her relationship with her parents and siblings? How about personality? A person's personality is who they are. Hence, it might not be possible for you to change it. Are you sure of his or her behavioral pattern? Are you satisfied with that individual being an introvert or extrovert? If you are more comfortable with someone who is more outgoing, why should you settle for a reserved person with the aim of changing him or her? Finally, how about compatibility and common interests? The truth of the matter is, when you are compatible, you enjoy each other's company. You have similar interests. Marriage is a lifetime adventure. It's wise to embark on this journey with someone you get along with very well. What kind of leisure or hobbies does he or she enjoy? Remember, marriage is teamwork, and a team can only work well when they agree. Amos 3:3. It is often said, the ball is in your court. When you make right choices, you are the primary beneficiary, not God, not your neighbor. And remember, when you make right choices, you enjoy peace, longevity, generational blessings, divine backing, as in the above positive examples. And if you make wrong choices, the effect include destruction, frustration, lack of peace, death, disconnection from God, as in the above negative examples. It's my prayer for you today that your own marriage and the choices you make in your marriage will lead to positive testimonies. In conclusion, a wrong choice can set your life off course, whereas right choices will enhance the quality of your life and destiny. Many people have made a shipwreck of their destiny due to wrong marital choices. You shall not, in Jesus' name. Make quality choices in marriage and you begin to enjoy a great home. Ensure that your marital choice reflects your hopes, not your fears. Don't choose out of desperation, pressure, or rush. Someone might say, "Oh, I'm getting old. I pray for you today that the God of heaven will grant you supernatural speed." Make good choices so you won't have regrets tomorrow. Your tomorrow shall be great. I pray for everyone that is married right now that the blessings of God will rest upon your home, and the choices you begin to make from today shall be great and good choices. For everyone that is not married yet, I pray that the God of heaven will guide your steps in Jesus' name. For those of you who are already into relationship and you know that you need to make a U-turn based on what you have heard today, grace to take steps, receive it in Jesus' name. Finally, are you born again? Until you are born again, these blessings may not be real in your life. You want to give your life to Jesus Christ right now? Bow your heads and pray this prayer with me from your heart. Say after me, "Oh God, I'm a sinner. Today, I repent of my sins. I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for receiving him in Jesus' mighty name. Amen." Congratulations. If you prayed that prayer, I rejoice with you. You are now born again. Log on to the website address at the bottom of your screen and fill the salvation form. Send your testimonies also through this same medium. Connect with the social media handles at the bottom of your screen. And always remember, God is too faithful to fail. See you next time, and God bless you.